call Charlie and Paula tells you he's not home, you have reason to doubt that. I want to continue looking at Bible study. We probably only do this for a few more weeks. Looked at clauses and phrases. We've tried to stress the importance of observing each word and how to do that. It's, I believe, very helpful to make a vertical list of each word in a verse. If you're going to study a verse, it's pretty hard to miss a word if you do that. And again, it's very helpful to break a verse into parts. As you look at a passage of Scripture, whether it be five or six verses, whether it be one verse, or whether it be an entire chapter or chapters or an entire book, it's good to recognize the structure of a passage. And I believe that every sentence, every verse, every passage does have some structural features. There are basically seven, and you do not find all seven in every passage of Scripture, in every chapter of Scripture, but you will always find some. And it's good to look for these structural features. One is repetition. The Bible is a very repetitious book. If you've ever read the book, Seven Laws of Teaching, the number one law is repeat, repetition, repetition. We learn by repetition. That's why the world continually repeats its message, because whether we realize it or not, repetition sinks in. And the Bible's a very repetitious book. That's why, to me, it is a statement of ignorance when someone says that a preacher is repetitious. Well, amen. He ought to be. That's how you learn. We should not be offended by repetition. So it's something we ought to look for. Repetition, of course, the reason for it is to emphasize. If you see something that is repeated in a passage of Scripture several times, there's an emphasis upon whatever it is that's being repeated. Another feature is similarity, which goes along with repetition and is really just another form of repetition. That is, by similarity, we simply mean the use of similar words, the use of similar phrases to make the same point. Again, it's just another form of repetition. Another thing we look for is contrast, opposites. The Bible contrasts many things, and this is done to make a point more plain. There, words to look for that identify contrast would be the word although, whereas, however, but. Again, these are words that are normally not given much thought to, but they are words that point to contrast. Another feature is comparison. Bible makes comparison. You look for words like, likewise, as. Again, when you see those words, a comparison is being made. And a comparison is presented to clarify a point. So when the Bible makes comparisons, what it's doing is it's clarifying a point. And that's what we want. We want clarity. When we read the Scriptures, it ought to be our desire that they be clear. Clarity. And comparisons certainly help that. Another thing to look for, very important, is when a passage or a verse or from phrase to phrase moves from a general statement to particulars concerning that statement. The Bible does this often, moves from the general to the particular. That is done to more fully explain the general point that has been made. Another thing we should look for and helps us to, in our theology, is cause to effect and effect to cause. The Bible moves from cause to effect, emphasizing the consequences of something or the results of something. The Bible also moves from effect to cause to emphasize reasons for something. So these are features, structural features. Again, you do not find all of these in every chapter or every passage of Scripture, but you will find some of them. And it's beneficial to look for them. There is one passage that comes to mind. If we turn to the book of John chapter 10, if you read verses 1 through 18 and verses 26 through verse 30, I believe you find each of these seven features. So that's why we're using this particular passage of Scripture. Again, John 10, verses 1 through 18, John 10, verses 27 through 30. We're not going to read it to save time, but notice the structural features. Repetition. This passage of Scripture is filled with repetition. In chapter 10, again, the first 18 verses, the word shepherd occurs six times. Six times. You see it there in verse 2. You see it again in verse 11, verse 12, verse 14, verse 16. Six times we see that word shepherd. So it becomes pretty plain that the Lord is speaking. The subject is a shepherd. Another phrase you find repeated twice. Christ says, "I am the good shepherd." He says it twice. Six times he refers to the shepherd. Twice he says, "I am the good shepherd." Notice verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And in verse 14, we said twice, there's actually three. "I am the good shepherd." Twice in verse 11, once in verse 14. Good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd" twice. "Good shepherd" three times. The word "I am," Christ is speaking, and he says, "I am," five times. Five times he sees "I am." So the first time we read that word, that phrase, is in verse 7, "I am." Now what follows "I am," of course, is a noun or verb, an action. "I am the door." Now the next time you read that phrase is in verse 9. "I am." And again, he says, "I am the door." So when you come down to verse 9 and you read "I am," you automatically ought to think, well, I saw those two words somewhere else. And you go back to verse 7. So now we have a repetition. In verse 10, he says it again, "I am." And this time it's followed by a verb rather than a noun. "I am come." In verse 11, we see the same thing. I am the good shepherd. And again, we see it in verse 14. I am the good shepherd. Sheep. 17 times in this passage, including all the way to verse 27. 17 times you have the word sheep. Now, that's pretty repetitious. 17 times sheep. He talks about a shepherd. He talks about sheep. He repeats these two phrases over and over and over. So you don't have to go very deep to realize that the Lord is speaking of a relationship between shepherd and sheep. Now, in verse 2, we see the word sheep. In verse 3, we see the word sheep twice. In verse 4, we see the word sheep twice. In verse 7, we see the word sheep. In verse 8, and you get the idea, and it just continues on all the way down to verse 27. He also twice, or three times, says, my sheep. So we have shepherd, we have sheep, we have my sheep. And really, my sheep, not only is it repetitious, but it moves from the general to the particular. The general is sheep. It gets more particular. My sheep. So notice verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. Verse 26, but ye believe not, he's talking to the Pharisees, because, cause to effect, because ye are not of my sheep. There it is again, my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and ye are not my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Again, it's repeated. Not only my sheep, but my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. The word hear, H-E-A-R, the verb, occurs four times. And it has reference to the sheep hearing the voice of the shepherd. Notice verse 6, or verse 3, and the sheep hear his voice. Verse 8, the sheep did not hear them, talking about thieves and robbers. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And again in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. Three times, my sheep hear my voice. One time, my sheep hear not, or the sheep hear not, the voice of thieves and robbers or false teachers. So, the sheep have selective hearing, and they are in tune to the shepherd. Six times, he uses the phrase, my father. My father. He's speaking as a shepherd. I am the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And he speaks, my father. Twice, he uses the words, no man. Verse 18, he talks about his life, and he says, no man taketh it from me. In verse 29, my Father which gave them me, that is the sheep, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So through this passage, we see repetition. We see also similarity, which again is another form of repetition. In verse 11, he says, giveth his life. The shepherd giveth his life. In verse 15 and 17, he says, I lay down my life. Now that's similar to the shepherd giveth his life, and Jesus being the shepherd says, I lay down my life. So there's a similarity. Again, it's a form of repetition. He says in verse 18, I lay it down, talking about his life. So you have repetition. You have similarity. The passage also has contrast. We see the actions of the thief and the robber are contrasted with the actions of the shepherd. We see that in verses 1 and 2. We see it in verse 10. We also see that the reaction of the sheep to the shepherd is contrasted to the reaction of the sheep with a stranger. And again, contrast is to clarify. Also, there's a contrast of the action of the shepherd with the action of the hireling. We see that in verses 11 and verse 12. We see also comparison. In verse 15, he says, has, immediately, there's a comparison going to be made, has the Father knoweth me. Now think about that. As the Father knoweth me. That's perfect, complete knowledge. As the Father knoweth me, even so, comparison is going to be made. Know I the Father perfectly. We see also the passage moves from general to particulars. Notice verse 11. We see the good shepherd giveth his life. That is a general statement. The good shepherd giveth his life. That can be a sentence. That is an independent clause followed by a phrase which moves us to the particular for the sheep. Now this is key because Jesus refers to my sheep over and over six times. And remember he said to the Pharisees, ye are not my sheep. And the good shepherd giveth his life for who? Moves to the particular. The sheep. This is a major problem of Arminian theology. They stay on general statements and never seem to have the ability to move to the particulars. And you can make a general statement. You can't base everything on a general statement. You have to move to the particulars of that statement. And we see that here. We see in verse 17, he makes the general statement, I lay down my life. I lay down my life. That's a general statement. Verse 18, that we have more particular of that. No man taketh it from me. No man taketh it from me. So you see, no one could take life from Christ. No one could kill Christ unless he laid down his life. It also moves from cause to effect. Because Christ knows the sheep know him. Notice verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And the effect of that statement, and am known of mine. Because I know my sheep, they will know me. Verse 16, it moves from the cause, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and then you see the effect of that, they shall and they shall hear my voice. Cause to effect. It's not hear and then bring. It's bring and hear. Cause to effect. Then, of course, there's effect to cause. Verse 26. But ye believe not. That's a cause or an effect. The cause is identified by the word because. Anytime you see the word because, it's followed by a cause. Ye believe not. That's a general statement also. Also moving to the particular. Why don't they believe? Because ye are not of my sheep. They do not believe because of their character. They are not sheep. Ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. So again, it's important to look for these features in a passage. They help clarify. They help show us where the emphasis is. It's just like if you're listening to someone talk, you can pull a phrase out and you can lay emphasis upon that one phrase or that one word, but the person speaking perhaps did not emphasize that. We need to be careful when we listen and when we read the Word of God that we place the emphasis where the speaker, or in this case, the writer, placed the emphasis. Because if you don't do that, if you misplace emphasis, that is a form of misrepresentation. And when we read the Scriptures, we do not want to misrepresent the Scriptures. And it's important that we, when we see these features, we see where the emphasis is being placed. So, again, we pray that we would keep some of these things. We've covered a lot of ground, and I know some have gotten tired of it probably. But if you can just get a hold of a few of these principles, I guarantee you the Bible becomes more clear to you. It's not a book meant to mystify us. It's not a deep, it's not a mysterious book. It is a book that is written for you and I to understand. And we just need to know how to read it. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've given it to us, and we thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where it is still available, and we pray, Lord, that it would always be so. Lord, we pray that you would cause us to hide it in our hearts, and we pray now as we worship you today that you'd help us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.